Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bridget Bergen from the WNYC and Gothamist Newsroom. And now, listeners, we'll invite you to share what makes up the soundscape of your homes, which we're going to do on two tracks. If you're a parent, how did you introduce your favorite music to your children, and what did you play for them? What kind of music did you or are you playing at home, and when do you play it? What's your go-to playlist for long car rides, or what do you put on when it's time to do chores as a family? Tweet at Brian Lehrer or give us a call now at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And here's another angle. If you grew up in a household that had music on in the background, what was playing on the speakers? Do certain jazz records or a radio show bring back any memories? Maybe the soundscape of your childhood was baseball games on the radio. Or maybe you were around before televisions were popular in people's homes. What did you listen to then? 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And joining me now to talk about music in the home and how it can be used to expand a sense of belonging and to take some of your calls is Catherine Jezer-Morton, writer of New York Magazine's The Cut's Brooding Newsletter. Catherine, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And in your recent piece for Brooding, The Cut's biweekly newsletter on modern family life, you write about how you don't keep a diary, but you do make a playlist for every season, and that those playlists are your archive of emotions. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what's on your playlist right now?
Sure, yeah. So this fall, I've gotten really into Harry Styles' latest album, which I never have listened to his music before, so I'm really a latecomer fan. And that's kind of a departure for me. I listen to a lot of, like, kind of music from the 70s, sort of old man music is sort of how I think of it. So my kids were pretty surprised to hear Harry Styles in the kitchen. They were like, Mom, like, what, what's going on? I think it was a good late summer, kind of into fall feeling, that kind of holding on to the last bit of summer.
When I read your piece, it reminded me I had a very deep Jason Isbell phase for his first album and second album, and I just couldn't stop listening to them. Like, I needed them at, you know, various points of the day when I was doing dishes, when I was cleaning in my kitchen, and the way you described your connection to that Harry Styles album felt, it really resonated with that experience. Listeners, we want to bring you into this conversation. And, you know, if you're from another country, do you play your native music to your family members and when? And if your parents are immigrants, maybe you grew up listening to their favorite music genre, like mambo or turbo folk or dance hall. Do those songs call to your mind a certain feeling or memory? Let us know at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. You said you played a lot of Harry Styles this summer, but when you do play music in your home, are you the prime DJ, or does anyone else get control of the playlist in the house?
Yeah, it's pretty much me in the house. My husband, Gray, really loves music too. And he has, I mean, we like a lot of the same music, but I'm the one who kind of puts it on, and my mood sort of determines the mood of the house. In the car, the kids get to choose more. I basically don't let them play music in public spaces in the house because I'm just like, this is my sound zone. But the car is where I let them, you know, they'll put on the Beastie Boys, which they really love, and, you know, Dr. Dre and stuff. But yeah, we each kind of have our separate territories.
You write that the advent of the AirPod is ideal for many dimensions of media consumption, but don't neglect your speakers. How come?
Well, yeah, I mean, I see a lot of people wearing their AirPods kind of all the time and, you know, using them as a way of listening to your podcast while you're, you know, tidying up. And I totally get that, but I do think that it kind of neglects the common soundscape of the house. And I think that it's a way of creating a sense of like, this is our culture in this household by sharing music. And, you know, I think kids, especially when they're younger, they'll just listen to whatever's on and it starts to be something that they associate with their family. Like one of my favorite things that happens is if I'm listening to, you know, something that I would not assume that my kids would like some, you know, I don't know, Malian, you know, string music. And I listen to it over and over again while I'm doing the dishes. And then one day my kid wanders into the kitchen and he's like, I love this song. And I'm like, how did that happen? And I think it's wow. just, you know, repeated exposure. And he probably just sort of associates it with being at home. And I feel like that is, for me, like a really great victory as a parent.
Gary in Highland Park, New Jersey. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, longtime listener, first time caller. I am was raised by a folky and a jazz, and I benefited from getting all their records. So Brubeck, Take Five was played, and Mamas and the Papas, Woody Guthrie. I was a child of the 60s music and 70s, so I raised my 10-year-old son on the Beatles and the Stones and the Who, and then moved on to some harder things, Zeppelin, you know, even Ozzy and things like that. And he, we're all fans in the house of 80s and 90s music, so he's pretty much heard everything.
Wow.
But I did lay him in with the British Invasion, and I'm a musician too, so he's also watched me play my whole life.
Oh, wow, Gary, that's so great. So you've shared your music both by performing it and by the curation of what you play around the house and in the car, it sounds like.
Yeah, but he started with the Beatles, probably. Mm.
That's a good jumping off point. Gary, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Nadine in Warwick, New York. Nadine, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here. I'm a big fan of Brian Lehrer's show and every show on your station.
I'm so glad you listen.
When my kids were little, we would listen to Lori Berkner and Dan Zanes, but then we would work in our own music. So they grew up listening to Black Sabbath and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we would take them to see Sabbath and the Allman Brothers and Deep Purple and Van Halen at the open venues like Bethel Woods. And there's family sections at like the Arts Center down in Jersey. So there's a family section for when they got to see Black Sabbath a couple times. But so we would have these playlists for them driving back and forth to school. And one time when my kid was in, I think it was pre-K 3 or 4, I got a call from the teacher that my kid was howling in class. And I'm like, howling? Why is he howling? And then I realized he was pretending to be David Lee Roth.
So
he was howling. And
Nadine,
my daughter's favorite song was Fairies Wear Boots from Sabbath, which I'm incredibly impressed by.
Nadine,
because of the fairies.
Those are great stories, and I had no idea that there was a family section at a Black Sabbath concert. That's an amazing thing that I've learned this morning. You know, I'm wondering about when you write in the piece that you connect the musical soundscape of your home as part of your parenting. I think we were hearing that echoed in some of these callers. Do you think it's more about creating a certain type of environment for kids in the home or exposing them to, you know, as these parents have suggested, maybe some of the music that they really love?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really, those are sort of part of the same thing. You know, I think all music can create a desirable environment for kids. I don't think that there's certain kinds of music that's better for kids than others. It's really what people love. And yeah, I mean, I think it's just creating the sense of like, this is where we do our thing in this family. You know, this is where we get to be ourselves. And it's such a nice feeling to cultivate. And, you know, especially if you don't have money to like redecorate your home and make it into some kind of a really, you know, like a temple or some kind of a special place that way. Music is a way of doing that, you know, in more of a kind of just in the atmosphere.
Since you write a newsletter about the modern family, some parents whose kids are still, you know, preteen, younger, might be worried about playing certain genres with, say, more explicit lyrics to their kids, pop songs, rap, so on. How do you handle your own reckoning with playing that kind of music for your kids?
I mean, with respect to Tipper Gore, like, I don't care about that at all. I mean, I don't think that it's, kids are going to encounter a lot of explicit content no matter what happens. Obviously, you know, little kids imitate things they hear a lot, and you might want to be mindful of that. But I mean, I'd just as soon have kids encounter, you know, lyrics and that are a little bit iffy in the home, where we can talk about it and we can explain, like, you know, there are certain things that maybe people will say in a song that you wouldn't say, you know, in speech or whatever. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Bridget Bergen, filling in for Brian today. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Catherine Jezer-Morton, writer of The Cut's brooding newsletter about how music in the home can create a sense of belonging. And I want to go to Julia in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Julia, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me on today. My youngest is 14 and my oldest is 23. And when my youngest was born, I just had more time. So I would sing lullabies to him. And when I say lullabies, I'm talking Bruce Springsteen. and he always developed a sort of this love of music that my older kids just never kicked into, so much so that when we were living in Colorado, when we moved back here, he actually applied and was accepted at St. Thomas Choir School for Boys in New York City. And he sang with them for 5 years. So he now, like, his whole musical arc is completely different than anything I would ever have envisioned for him. And he can be like, Genesis has got too much of this. You know, that's really good. I like James Taylor. Oh, you don't want Dvorak. Like, and so, and he's 14, and he's got this really extensive musical vocabulary. And so we have a great time listening to all kinds of music, because we just sort of, like, we'll spin through the dial and listen to a song and be like, do we stay on the station? No. You know, go to the
Julia,
next.
Thank you.
Don't ever, like, create it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to go to, really quickly, Victoria in Orlando. Victoria, thanks so much for listening, calling. We only have a little bit of time left, but
I know,
what is
I
your
know.
Soundscape?
So it's funny, and as I was saying to the screener, you know, I'll just jump straight to it. I'm from Trinidad. My husband is white American, and so I've always run to my calypso, but at Christmas time in the house, we always play, like, the parang soca, that Trini Christmas music. Their dad and I are currently separating, and so the kids are, like, trying to figure out, you know, we're trying to figure out where they're spending Christmas. They want to spend it with dad because he does the presents. And I said to them, you know, I'm sure he will play the Christmas music, because my son was wondering, you know, well, will we still get to listen to Parang Soka? And it's become the music that's our Christmas music. We listen to the carols as well, but that Trinidadian soca, you know, with the Christmas beat to it, you know, they're looking forward to that. So I feel like, yeah, job well
Victoria,
done.
Victoria, thank you so much for calling. We're going to have to leave it for there today. My guest has been Catherine Jezer-Morton, writer of New York Magazine's The Cut's brooding newsletter. And since you mentioned Harry Styles, we're going to go out in one of his songs, Music for a Sushi Restaurant. Thank you for joining us, Catherine.
Thanks so much.
I'm Bridget Bergen, and this is The Brian Lehrer Show in WNYC.